The staff and families at Grace Cafe recognize and salute the men and women in uniform standing tall for our political and economic freedom. Let's remember them in our thoughts, prayers, and letters from home. Their effort abroad and our support at home will help keep America strong. That's from Grace Cafe in Ault, where they say, if you're barely hungry or hungry as a bear, stop in. That's Grace Cafe at 200 East 1st Street in Ault, a great place for great food, offering a 10% discount for all military personnel. Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply won't sell you anything they don't feed their own pets. We sell quality feed for mice to horses, premium pet food, and wild bird seed custom cages and supplies at the best prices in town with a 2% cash discount. Feed your animals quality food now or pay your vet later. Ask about our special of the month for KHNC listeners. That's Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply, located at 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. That's 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. 303-424-0305. 303-424-0305.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. And with us this morning, of course, as usual on Friday, is Andrew Skousen to bring us up to date on the World Affairs Brief and his dad's analysis of the events that are taking place. Andrew, you pick up the story.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Pleasure to be with you. Well, the top story this week is about the Republicans' feeble attempt to rein in executive power. Nothing is more symptomatic of the compromised leadership of the Republican Party in Congress than their feeble efforts to file suit against Obama rather than impeach him. Even presumed conservative House Budget Committee Chairman Representative Paul Ryan said Republicans should stop short of attempting to impeach him. He erroneously relies upon the ancient and formulaic, quote, high crimes and misdemeanor, end quote, as the bar for impeachment that was used to denigrate the process during the Clinton impeachment. Obama's real impeachable offense is the unconstitutional use of executive authority to bypass Congress and change law. In particular, his recent edicts that refuse to enforce the law and grant illegals several different forms of amnesty. House Speaker Boehner, the mastermind behind the flawed suit, isn't even suing the president for refusing to secure the border. But for not enforcing Obamacare mandates on all businesses uniformly, whose side is he on? The more Congress delays changing the law that allows Obama to grant multiple-year delays in processing illegal minors, the more illegals will continue to flow through the open borders to game the system. And they aren't coming by accident. They're actually being recruited and coached by a host of people all along the immigration route, often the same people making a profit by transporting desperate people. The growing buzz over impeachment represents the extreme frustration of a growing body of Americans to Obama's decision to allow minors to stay and even taking steps to make them comfortable at taxpayers' expense, such as issuing EBT welfare credit cards and bus rides so the illegals can shop at Walmart. Illegals have also been granted an exemption so they can bypass TSA travel document requirements when they board airplanes and buses. Despite the outrage, Boehner says, quote, we have no plans to impeach the president, end quote. What's worse, once his lawsuit is thrown out of court for lack of standing, lack of statutory authority, and or a lack of following the prescribed procedures of the Constitution, i.e. impeachment, the idea of bringing the president to a constitutional justice properly will then be viewed with derision, an assured failure after a failed lawsuit. Several legal scholars agree that there is no basis for this suit. David Davenport of Forbes wrote, quote, although Boehner has not fully recognized the basis for his suit against Obama, the legal analysis must start by recognizing that there is no real precedent for Congress to sue the president for failing to execute the law. A primary reason for this is that courts generally find that Congress is a plaintiff, lacks quote-unquote standing, or any kind of personal and concrete damage that a court would legally recognize. Given the lack of precedent for it, such a suit would almost certainly lose in the first round in federal district court, and political pressure against the matter would mushroom immediately. Battles over the balance of power among the branches of government are more political questions, which courts have long recognized need political, not judicial, resolution, end quote. But Joel says, his last statement is not correct. The separation of power doctrine is very much a part of judicial oversight and constitutional interpretation. The impeachment process itself is a judicial type of process, and the courts will mention this in their rejection of this suit, that impeachment is Congress's only remedy under the Constitution. Use it. But it will never happen. One of the reasons is that the Senate will never convict, being under the control of the Democrats. They, in fact, are using this entire charade as a fundraising gambit to gin up support for defending the president. The reason reining in executive authority is so important is that it has grown so much since World War II that it needs to be addressed in a comprehensive way. Simply suing the president cheapens the entire attack. And what would be the remedy the suit would demand? That the court threaten the president with arrest if he doesn't enforce the law? That's never been done before. The real problem is that this nation has been operating under unconstitutional emergency powers since FDR, Roosevelt. And both Congress and the courts have allowed this without challenge. In 1973, the U.S. Senate issued a comprehensive report about how widespread the constant use of emergency powers had become. But once again, both major parties refused to stop it. Here's an excerpt from a pretty decent Wikipedia article on Senate Report 93-549 entitled Emergency Powers Statute. It says in part, quote, "The Special Committee on the Termination of the National Emergency was created to examine the consequences of terminating the declared status of national emergency that then prevailed, to recommend what steps the Congress should take to ensure that the termination could be accomplished without adverse effects upon the necessary tasks of governing." At the time of these senatorial discussions, there were, in effect, four presidentially proclaimed states of national emergency, in addition to the national emergency declared by President Franklin D. Roosevelt on March 6, 1933, Proclamation No. 2039, and continued in force by Proclamation No. 2040, issued on March 9, 1933. There were also the national emergency proclaimed by President Harry S. Truman on December 16, 1950, Proclamation No. 2914, during the Korean conflict, and the states of national emergency declared by President Richard Nixon on March 23, 1970, and August 15, 1971. Joel inserts, "Since then, every other president has continued to extend these emergency provisions, including Reagan." Continuing the Wikipedia article, "These proclamations give force to over 470 provisions of federal law. These hundreds of statutes delegate to the president extraordinary powers, ordinarily exercised by the Congress, which affects the lives of American citizens in a host of all-encompassing manners. This vast range of powers, taken together, confer enough authority to rule the country without reference to normal constitutional processes." Later, "Under the powers delegated by these statutes, the president may seize property, organize and control the means of production, seize commodities, assign military forces abroad, institute martial law, seize and control all transportation and communication, regulate the operation of private enterprise, restrict travel, and, in a plethora of particular ways, control the lives of all American citizens," end quote. That last sentence being part of the Wikipedia article.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
The staff and families at Grace Cafe recognize and salute the men and women in uniform standing tall for our political and economic freedom. Let's remember them in our thoughts, prayers, and letters from home. Their effort abroad and our support at home will help keep America strong. That's from Grace Cafe in Ault, where they say, if you're barely hungry or hungry as a bear, stop in. That's Grace Cafe at 200 East 1st Street in Ault, a great place for great food, offering a 10% discount for all military personnel. Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply won't sell you anything they don't feed their own pets. We sell quality feed for mice to horses, premium pet food, and wild bird seed custom cages and supplies at the best prices in town with a 2% cash discount. Feed your animals quality food now or pay your vet later. Ask about our special of the month for KHNC listeners. That's Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply, located at 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. That's 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. 303-424-0305. 303-424-0305.
Well, Dr. Stan, I guess this morning Andrew Skousen. Andrew, pick up the story.
Well, thanks, Stan. Well, just to wrap up that last story about the impeachment process, therefore, it is not surprising that Obama, too, continues to issue edict after edict based on these prolonged emergency powers, including the most recent round of sanctions against Russia, hollow as they are. This has to stop, but it won't be stopped because both major parties are controlled by globalists, just as they control the judiciary, the executive, and about 75% of members of Congress. Moving on, the next story is Republican House border bill, a sellout for amnesty. So not only are the Republican leaders sabotaging the impeachment of the president, they are conspiring to sabotage the legislative efforts to seal the border and change the laws that continue to allow these extensive legal proceedings that effectively stop deportations of minors. Senator Jeff Sessions, a Republican from Alabama, denounced the House Republican border bill as a surrender to a lawless president, and for good reason. The proposed legislation does not include any language to prevent President Obama from continuing to use his claimed executive authority to undermine deportations and allow immigrants to stay indefinitely in legal limbo. Sessions wrote, quote, the Obama administration has openly declared its plan to implement a unilateral executive amnesty for 5 to 6 million more illegal immigrants. This unlawful amnesty, urged on by congressional Democrats, would include work permits, taking jobs directly from millions of struggling Americans, American citizens. Any action Congress might consider to address the current border crisis would be futile should the president go forward with these lawless actions. Congress must speak out and fight against them. It must use its spending power to stop the president's executive amnesty. That the House leader's border package includes no language on executive actions is surrender to a lawless president, and it is a submission to the subordination of congressional power. There are other grave concerns with the Granger package as well, because it does not fix our asylum rules and loopholes. The end result of the additional judges and hearings will be more illegal immigrants gaining asylum and access to the U.S., to U.S. welfare. It is a plan for expedited asylum, not expedited removal, Joel inserts. And that is the real solution. Take them immediately back to the border upon apprehension and deport them. Continuing the Sessions quote, nor will this package make our rogue president actively enforce anything, coming nowhere close to the kinds of reasonable enforcement activities needed to restore the interior application of our immigration laws. And finally, a package that is silent on blocking amnesty creates an opportunity for Senate Democrats to add elements of their party's open borders and mass immigration agenda. This legislation is unworthy of support. End quote. Representative Ted Cruz, a Republican from Texas, is trying to fix this. Cruz and a group of House Republicans are pressing leaders to add a provision that would bar the president from allowing any more deferments, for children of undocumented workers in the U.S. now. This would be a change to the 2012 Obama administration policy known as DACA, D-A-C-A. Naturally, the White House has already issued a veto threat on the House border bill, and the Senate Democratic leadership will refuse to take it up. Thursday afternoon, the House bill died in the House for lack of support. I'm glad, Joel says, but not happy about the decided misdirection being used by Boehner to avoid sealing the border. The House bill is also deficient in not authorizing money to complete the fence and dictating the terms of that fence so that the Obama administration can't change it to something much more expensive and impossible to implement. The administration is talking $4 billion to quote-unquote complete the fence, which it has no intention of doing. But even that $4 billion on fencing would be better spent than $2 billion a year on the humanitarian crisis, which just keeps on taking. And it really won't take that much money to finish an effective fence. $1 billion could easily build a double 10-foot-high fence with razor wire on top that would dramatically slow down the invasion. And how about throwing some economic sanctions at Mexico until they seal their side of the border and stop issuing visas to Central Americans to transit Mexico? So now the 5-week recess goes into effect without any action. Rightly so, many rank-and-file Republicans worry about going home on the recess without passing something. The public wants action. Democrats should also worry, because if this problem continues until the upcoming election, it's also going to be bad for Democrats. Next story, NSA spying bill will not stop spying. Wired.com opined that it is bad enough for NSA spying, that NSA spying undermines all our privacy, but it also destroys international trust for the integrity of the markets and all communications. They say, quote, "There is no doubt the integrity of our communications and the privacy of our online activities has been the biggest casualty of the NSA's unfettered surveillance of our digital lives. The ongoing revelations of government eavesdropping has had a profound impact on the economy, the security of the Internet, and the credibility of the U.S. government's leadership when it comes to online governance," end quote. Furthermore, as Steve Watson of Infowars.com pointed out, the latest faux legislation claiming to rein in NSA spying is a sham and won't stop anything. Quote, "While it is an improvement on previous legislation, the Senate bill aimed at cracking down on NSA data collection, unveiled this week by the Judiciary Committee Chairman Patrick Leahy, will not stop the spy agency from accessing the communications of Americans. Analysis of the so-called USA Freedom Act reveals that the bill will still provide NSA spies access to the data of every phone call that is made to and from the U.S. In addition, the probable cause standard under the Fourth Amendment is still not present in the legislation. In essence, the NSA will still be able to circumvent constitutional protections, meaning that the bill does not go far enough as far as some privacy advocates are concerned." Senators Ron Wyden, Democrat of Oregon, and Mark Udall, a Democrat of Colorado, who have both been extremely critical of the NSA's practices, Joel inserts, "but never do anything about it," continue the quote, said the bill was a vast improvement from previous legislation, but noted that it could still be used to spy on Americans by a foreign intelligence authority, end quote. Joel says, "Look, there is no such thing as quote-unquote improved legislation if it doesn't actually stop domestic spying and allow independent oversight to ensure the executive branch's compliance. Everything else is mere window dressing to pacify the public." Wyden mentioned that there is a backdoor search, quote-unquote, loophole in almost all computer hardware that allows for warrantless searches of Americans' communication data. Watson also reports on the CIA admitting that it spied on Senate staffers and continues to use backdoor searches. Quote, "The senators pointed to a recent report from the Director of National Intelligence, which noted, quote, the NSA, CIA, and FBI conduct warrantless searches of communications of Americans that are swept up under this authority," end quote. Under the new bill, NSA and CIA would not be prevented from conducting backdoor searches and would only be required to count the number of times they do it and report to Congress, Joel inserts, without revealing any of the content or what they do with it, continuing the quote. The bill completely exempts the FBI from the reporting requirement, despite the fact that the Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, admitted that the FBI's use of backdoor searches is substantial, end quote. In essence, this legislation effort is worthless. But what else can we expect when a government yes-man, Pat Lee, sponsors the bill? You can bet it was written by the government itself. Well, switching areas of the world now, we're going to go to Gaza with the story, Will Israel Finally Get Rid of Hamas? Joel says, While I'm surprised that Israel has gone this far without bowing to another ceasefire and truce, I'm equally assured that they will never go so far as to actually root out Hamas and officially reoccupy Gaza. When Israel pulled out the Jewish settlements on the Gaza coast in 2006, you knew then that they were never intending to win the war. Sure, they had all the petty excuses for withdrawal, such as how costly it was, but those costs were nothing compared to the two invasions that Israel has had to execute since then as a result of the pullout. The fact that they used to have Gaza cut in half by a military-guarded road separating North and South Gaza was a tremendous military advantage that really cut down on smuggling rockets to the North. The press is alive with the propaganda that Netanyahu doesn't want to get rid of Hamas because something worse might come in its place. Joel says, nonsense. Hamas is as radical as it gets. There is never going to be a more organized military arm of Arab radicals than Hamas. From the left, Eli Lake, Josh Rogan, spread the propaganda that, quote, Netanyahu wants Hamas to stay, end quote. They don't understand that Netanyahu is a globalist with his own perverse incentives, i.e. to preserve the seeds of conflict while making it look like he is securing Israel's interests. They say, quote, Israel's prime minister accuses them of being as bad as Al-Qaeda. Joel says, actually, they are worse. Al-Qaeda, at least at the top, is a Western-controlled terror organization used to help maintain the West's phony war on terror. But Hamas is a real terror outfit not controlled by the West, as was its predecessor, Yasser Arafat. Continuing the quote, But he isn't trying to run the group out of Gaza. There's a good reason why. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has said his military will not stop until it dismantles a labyrinth of tunnels often burrowed under private homes and even beneath Gaza's mosques. But Netanyahu has not called for destroying the organization that built those tunnels, Hamas. And he won't, multiple Israeli officials told the Daily Beast. Which raises the question, why are Israeli forces in Gaza at the cost of more than 1,300 lives and a rising tide of global condemnation in the first place? You have to think through what comes next, a senior Israeli official said this month when asked why Israel was not pursuing regime change against Hamas. You don't want to actually administer Gaza, and you don't want someone worse taking over, end quote. Joel says, there it is, black and white propaganda about something worse after Hamas. What, pray tell? Continuing the quote, another senior Israeli official said that Jerusalem's military did not even seek to take out the entire stockpile of Hamas rockets. Instead, he said this latest round of fighting was aimed at creating deterrence and destroying the tunnel. More recently, Israeli officials have said they also seek to demilitarize Hamas. End quote. Joel says, Some officials are in the know and others aren't. Even if Israel disarms Hamas now, they are obviously able to smuggle in massive amounts of rockets, arms, and ammunition despite the blockade. And most of that was through Rafah on the southern border with Egypt, which claims to be the mediator of this tragedy. Continuing the quote. But it's not the first time the rhetoric about Hamas and reality of Israel's war aims haven't quite matched. At the end of Operation Cast Lead in 2008 and 2009, Israeli troops stopped short of attacking Hamas leadership who were camped underneath Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City for the war. The brief skirmish between Hamas and Israel in 2012 also ended with Hamas still in place. While the terms of the ceasefire and an agreement between Israel and the United States to cooperate on interdicting illicit arms shipments to Gaza was supposed to defang Hamas, the deal didn't work, end quote. Joel says, and it never will unless you go in and physically root them out, all the leaders and the armed wing of Hamas. Finishing the quote this way, as Israel learned this month, Hamas improved the range of its rockets since its last war. even though its southern border with Egypt has been closed for a year. Joel says, obviously, it wasn't closed. It's funny why the media doesn't ever address the subject of how is Hamas getting all these rockets and munitions, including automatic rifles, ammo, mortars, anti-tank weapons, and rockets. Now for another dose of the same propaganda from the same story. Quote, the problem for Israel is that it's stuck. Many top U.S. officials now concede that as bad as Hamas is for both Palestinians and Israelis, it's the least bad alternative. General Michael Flynn, the outgoing director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, told an audience at the Aspen Security Forum on July 26 that Hamas' rule of Gaza was something he believed should continue. Quote, if Hamas were destroyed and gone, we would probably end up with something much worse. The region would end up with something much worse, he said. A worse threat that would come into the sort of ecosystem there, something like ISIS, end quote. Joel says, incredible. How is ISIS any worse? It isn't at all, and ISIS got its weapons through smuggling from Western sources via Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
Hi, folks. Guess what? We don't live in the land of milk and honey. We live in the land of farm factories, laboratory processed, and genetically modified food. Yikes! That's Frankenfoods! And that's a food and health crisis. But hold on. I have a solution. Eat non-GMO organic superfood products. Ask me, Vita, about a $50 gift card for free product. Call 518-530-1060. That's 518-530-1060.
Walker's Quality Cage and Feed Supply won't sell you anything they don't feed their own pets. We sell quality feed for mice to horses, premium pet food, and wild bird seed custom cages and supplies at the best prices in town with a 2% cash discount. Feed your animals quality food now or pay your vet later. Ask about our special of the month for KHNC listeners. That's Walker's Quality Cage and Feed Supply, located at 4298 Kipling Street in Wheat Ridge. That's 4298 Kipling Street in Wheat Ridge. 303-424-0305. 303-424-0305.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742. Or visit us on the web at squareroconstruction.com.
The staff and families at Gray's Cafe recognize and salute the men and women in uniform standing tall for our political and economic freedom. Let's remember them in our thoughts, prayers, and letters from home. Their effort abroad and our support at home will help keep America strong. That's from Gray's Cafe in Ault, where they say, if you're barely hungry or hungry as a bear, stop in. That's Gray's Cafe at 200 East 1st Street in Ault, a great place for great food. Offering a 10% discount for all military personnel.
Well, and here I sit supporting Andrew Skousen. And before we go on, Andrew, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your dad and subscribe to the World Affairs Brief, how they can get the books that he has on preparing for the difficult times that lie ahead, a strategic relocation and building, so the a safe room. But go ahead with
yeah,
the details.
Very much.
Pick up the story.
Well, the best way to contact my dad and to get a copy of the World Affairs Brief is to go to our website, worldaffairsbrief.com. That's all one word, an S on affairs, worldaffairsbrief.com. And there's a large button for signing up for the brief. It's a short process. You create an account so that you can log into the worldaffairsbrief.com website. once you're a paid subscriber, you can gain access to the website, and that includes all of the past archives of the brief. So you can read what Joel has said about everything. But it's best to sign up for the brief and read it as it goes along. There's quite a bit of material in each brief, so you would probably never get through it going backwards. Once people are on worldaffairsbrief.com, they can also find links to our other website, joelskousen.com, which has references and buying opportunities for all of Joel's work. The primary big seller is Joel's book, Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. This is a book that highlights all of the threats facing us in the U.S., well, around the world, really, and then it highlights in North America where the safest places are to relocate. We also have information there about what we think of the various expat locations throughout the world, the other countries that are attracting people who want to find a place to live outside of the U.S., and we rate those in terms of long-term security as well. Once people have found a secure retreat location, they should probably get one of our other two books, including the Secure Home, which is a large 700-page book that has everything that Joel has learned in all of his years designing high-security residential retreats, including how to conceal your property, secure it in various ways, to build a secure room, preferably in the basement, add an alternate energy system, and so forth. For people that just want to do small-scale renovations to an existing house, they will probably find the high security shelter, how to implement a high security room in your home, valuable. This book is a smaller and cheaper book that still includes complete plans about how to create a safe room as a do-it-yourself project with bag by bag of concrete and brick by concrete brick. Both of these books are available on joelskousen.com online. If you'd like to call and order those, you can get those at Radio Liberty. Right, Dr. Stan?
By calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Ladies and gentlemen, we're moving into very difficult times. You should begin making preparations and get these books. They will help you, give you the ideas and the information you need to begin to prepare, because we're moving into a situation where we're going to begin to see the breakdown of civil society as we know it. Go right ahead, Andrew.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, we're talking about Israel in Gaza, and Joel says in the next part of the story, who's responsible for civilian death? The superficial answer is the Israeli Defense Forces, IDF. But it's not quite that simple. Both sides share in the blame. There are a lot of personal stories out there, usually posted on social media, where it's hard to track down the truth, about atrocities on both sides. For example, you have dozens of Facebook posts by Palestinians in Gaza claiming that Israeli soldiers are shooting or bombing children knowingly. On the other hand, Israeli soldiers complain that when putting a tunnel system under siege, Hamas sends out fleeing children toward the Israeli soldiers with explosives strapped to them, forcing the soldiers to have to shoot them before they get to their position. They have nightmares about the terrible choices presented. Palestinian supporters use the word, quote-unquote, murder a lot, implying that they know the intent of Israel's soldiers or artillerymen who inflict the killing. I don't think that's knowable at all, Joel says. I've been to Israel, including the Arab side, enough to know that the Israeli soldiers are not bloodthirsty killers longing to kill children. They are usually reservists and not full-time soldiers, who often in their countries get corrupted by the contagion of heavy drinking, immoral behavior, and bravado endemic to full-time military service. But I've also been there in Israel when not too far away on the Arab side of town, an Israeli soldier was captured by the Palestinians in Gaza. They skinned him alive and danced around with the skin over their shoulders. That kind of mindless hatred and behavior never happens in Israel. But other crimes of passion do, like Israeli settlers sabotaging Arab orchards and killing people, and vice versa. Israeli schools do not propagandize hate of Arabs. Gaza schools, controlled by Hamas, in contrast, do teach and foment hatred of Israel. The Israeli government, being controlled by globalists, does its share of false flag terror, too, but it still doesn't compare to the quantity of real terror inflicted by Hamas kidnapping, suicide bombers, and rockets. Yes, Israel does bomb houses when there are armed men firing from inside, and sometimes even during clearing operations. One of the favorite tactics of Hamas is to booby-trap homes on both sides of the street, draw Israeli fire, and then explode mines from both sides of the street as Israeli soldiers come closer. It follows that Israel has started using explosives to blast away trap zones as they fight house to house. This week, it was big news that Israel had fired artillery at a UN-operated school. Palestinians claim there were no weapons stored in the school, even though weapons have been found in other UN buildings, including schools and mosques. But in this case, it wasn't found. In this case, it wasn't weapons in the school that caused the shelling. It was Hamas firing several rockets or mortars from an open area next to the school. Israel has U.S. technology that tracks incoming rockets and mortars and automatically determines an artillery firing solution back to where the trajectory originated. It was that automatic equipment responding to Hamas fire that got part of the school. Hamas knows this, and that is why they shoot from on top of or close to sensitive buildings, to foment public opinion against the growing civilian casualties that their actions often induce. We hear a lot about the tunnels built under the border. The largest are the vehicle-sized tunnels under the Gaza-Egyptian border at Rafah, used for importing huge quantities of arms and rocket parts. But the smaller invasion tunnels into Israel are often built by Hamas using forced labor of youth. Hamas officials have even admitted that at least 160 children have been killed in the tunnel, and not because they were there seeking shelter. Even if that were so, it is unconscionable for Hamas to bring children into the tunnel when they know Israel is going to have to assault the tunnels with explosives and flames. Then there's the issue of the death toll of civilians. As I touched on last week, Hamas counts all dead youth as civilian casualties. The realities are that many are manning weapons or explosives.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Now it's the big, our guest is Andrew, and we'll be back in a moment to wrap up the program.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squareroconstruction.com.
Hi, folks. Guess what? We don't live in the land of milk and honey. We live in the land of farm factories, laboratory processed, and genetically modified food. Yikes! That's Frankenfoods! And that's a food and health crisis. But hold on. I have a solution. Eat non-GMO organic superfood products. Ask me, Vita, about a $50 gift card for free product. Call 518-530-1060. That's 518-530-1060.
Walker's Quality Cage and Feed Supply won't sell you anything they don't feed their own pets. We sell quality feed for mice to horses, premium pet food, and wild bird seed custom cages and supplies at the best prices in town with a 2% cash discount. Feed your animals quality food now or pay your vet later. Ask about our special of the month for KHNC listeners. That's Walker's Quality Cage and Feed Supply, located at 4298 Kipling Street in Wheat Ridge. That's 4298 Kipling Street in Wheat Ridge. 303-424-0305. 303-424-0305.
Hello, Dan. Our guest, Andrew Skousen, for the last segment. Go right ahead, Andrew.
Thank you, Dr. Sam. Then there's the issue of the death toll of civilians. As I touched on last week, Hamas counts all dead youth as civilian casualties, but the realities are that many are manning weapons or explosives. Here's an interesting statistical analysis of Hamas's figures by Stephen Stofsky. He's obviously pro-Israel, but at least his statistics are open to analysis, not just unverifiable claims. Quote, an informational battle of competing messages directed at international audiences parallels the military fighting between Israel and Hamas. Accompanying a barrage of wrenching images are Palestinian fatality statistics alleging disproportionate numbers of non-combatants. These figures are crucial because they form the basis of accusations that Israel uses excessive and indiscriminate force. Fatality figures provided by Hamas and other groups should be viewed with suspicion. Not only do Israeli figures cast doubt on claims that the vast majority of fatalities are non-combatants, but a careful review of Palestinian sources also raises doubt. Analyses of the casualties listed in the daily reports published by the Palestinian Center for Human Rights, a Gaza-based organization operating under Hamas rule, indicate that young males ages 17 to 30 make up a large portion of the fatalities, and a particularly noticeable spike occurs between males ages 21 to 27, a pattern consistent with the age distribution typically found among combatants and military conscripts. Palestinian sources attempt to conceal this discrepancy with their public message by labeling most of these young men as civilians. Only a minority is identified as members of armed groups. As a result, the PCHR calculates civilian fatalities at 82% as of July 26. PCHR provides the most detailed casualty reports of the various Palestinian agencies from Gaza that provide figures to the media and to international organizations like the UN. Its figures closely match those of the Hamas-run Gazan Health Ministry and other groups. We have seen this before. A similar dispute over casualty figures occurred during Israel's Operation Cast Lead in the Gaza Strip in January of 2009. The Israelis contended that the majority of the fatalities were combatants. The Palestinians claimed they were civilians. The media and international organizations tended to side with the Palestinians. The UN's own investigatory commission, headed by Richard Goldstone, which produced the Goldstone Report, cited PCHR's figures along with other Palestinian groups provided similar figures. Over a year later, after the news media had moved on, Hamas Interior Minister Fatih Hamad enumerated Hamas's fatalities at 600 to 700, a figure close to the Israeli estimate of 709, and about three times higher than the figure of 236 combatants provided by PCHR in 2009 and cited in the Goldstone Report. Scrutiny of Palestinian figures in the current conflict reveals a spike in fatalities among males ages 21 to 27 and an overrepresentation from ages 17 to 30. Data gleaned from the daily reports of the PCHR show that from July 8th, the start of Israel's Operation Protective Edge, through July 26th, 404 out of 915 fatalities tallied from daily reports in which the ages were identified occurred among males ages 17 to 30. Comprising 44% of all fatalities among a group representing only 10% of Gaza. Expanding the age range from 17 to 39, and including those identified as combatants whose ages were not given, increases that number to 551 fatalities, or 57% of all fatalities, even though this group represents less than one-sixth of Gaza. By contrast, adult female fatalities were less than 10% of total fatalities for a group that comprises a quarter of the total population. Children, here defined as those under age 17, represented 194 of fatalities, 20% of the total. Any child fatality is a tragedy, but it is important to note that children make up over half the population of Gaza. End quote. Joel says, since there is evidence that young teens are active in the military struggle, some actively fighting, but many being used as messengers or carriers of explosives, it is likely that some 60% of the civilian casualties are the direct result of supporting Hamas, and not from unintentional collateral damage due to bombs or shelling. Still, 40% is a horrendous collateral damage rate, and much of that is owing to the fact that Hamas is fighting among well-prepared positions deep among the civilian population, forcing Israel to use mass destruction to root them out. How will it end? Joel says, I still think that Israel will either accede to a ceasefire or declare victory short of destroying Hamas. Destroying the tunnels will be the excuse for declaring victory. That may satisfy the Israeli public for now, but it's no more a solution than the last quote-unquote victory where tunnels were destroyed. The number of tunnels just keeps coming back in ever larger numbers, given time. In 3 or 4 years, Hamas will be rearmed and it will start all over again. It would be foolish to lift the blockade, and just as foolish not to occupy at least Rafah and the Egyptian side so as to stop future smuggling. If Hamas were truly disarmed, both Israel and Gaza could go back to the tenuous peace of prior years, when at least Gazans could do meaningful work instead of being on the receiving end of international welfare. Israel needs Arab labor, and it is willing to pay for it. But you've got to have several years of peace before international pressure can rightfully justify to Israel that it is appropriate to open up the borders again and allow normal external commerce. Sadly, I don't think we'll ever see peace again, and letting Hamas have free rein with open borders right now is the quickest way back to an even worse war. There are no easy answers here. Well, switching back to home, the Department of Homeland Security flexing muscles in local jurisdictions. There's a disturbing trend going on in this country where we see the Department of Homeland Security, DHS, intervening in local jurisdictional matters and using the Border Patrol in ways that are totally inappropriate. I think this is happening on purpose in order to get Americans more accustomed to acceding to DHS police muscle at any time in any place, Joel says. It is the beginning stages of a national police force that can always claim superior jurisdiction over local police and sheriff departments, despite the latter having the ultimate jurisdiction according to a recent Supreme Court ruling. Obviously, DHS is trying to overwhelm that legal ruling with boots on the ground. Paul Joseph Watson of Infowars.com wrote about a seemingly innocuous case this month that is most disturbing because DHS intervened in something that could easily have been disregarded. It's like they went looking for an excuse to exercise authority. Watson says, quote, in another example of how the Department of Homeland Security...
We're not let you go, Andrew. We're out of time. We are moving towards a dictatorship and a police state in America. Talk to you next week. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
Griffith Auto Electric salutes the men and women in uniform who are standing tall for our political and economic freedom around the world. Let's remember them during these trying times. Their efforts abroad and our support at home will help keep America strong. That's from Griffith Auto Electric at 108 Sugar Mill Road in Sterling, who says our area is a great place to live, work, and raise our families. They're always concerned for the safety and welfare of our community. Call 970-522-0160. That's 970-522-0160.
Did you see the size of that commission?
That certainly was a large commission.
Where's the gold?
It's a very, very big commission.
Where's the gold?
At your typical gold dealer, you get a lot less gold and they get a lot more commission. At Patriot, we provide you with more gold and silver with what we like to call the single-digit markup. At Patriot, you get more gold for less.
For all your gold and silver needs, call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Well, Dr. Stan back here to wrap up this morning's program. Ladies and gentlemen, we're moving towards a dictatorship. Why? Because a small group of people, oh, I call them the Brotherhood of Darkness, controls both political parties here. Certainly they control the media, they control the banks, they control the major corporations, and they're using the financial power and military power of the United States to bring about a world government. That's what it's really all about. And now they begin to consolidate their control here as we move into the final stages. And we must expose what's going on. You've got to get started working, certainly telling everybody what it's all about. They need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. They need to get the book, The New Media Monopoly, going into how the media is controlled. And they control 90% of the media. They control what the American people read and think. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Most Americans just want to be left alone. They want to be free. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not free. We've already been taken over. We've got to take America back, and people have to get involved. They have to get involved in local politics. They have to get involved in national politics. They have to point out that we're operating certainly under corporate control. They've suspended the Constitution. They did it in 1933. You need to get involved, or when the dictatorship comes, you'll have nobody to blame. Furthermore, the American foreign policy, the CIA is funding Hamas. The CIA is funding Al-Qaeda. The CIA is funding ISI. And they are killing Christians over in the Middle East. They've killed probably close to 1 million Christians. Their blood is on your hands. And if you don't speak out, you become part of the problem. You can't say, well, I didn't know what was going on, because if you listen to Radio Liberty, you know certainly that the CIA is funding the world terrorist movement, and certainly if we do not get this information out, why, the blood of the Christians who are dying is on our hands, and I believe God is going to bring terrible judgment on the American people, not for what we've done, but for what we haven't done. Because men and women become accomplices to the evil they fail to oppose. Have you spoken out against the slaughter of the Christians carried out by the terrorist organizations funded with your tax money? Understand that nothing is as it appears to be. And if the American people don't get involved, and get involved very, very soon, why, I tremble when I reflect the judgment that God is going to bring on this country. Because remember, behind all of these evil and wicked people